Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Tommy Patterson welcomes Principal Program Manager Mark Lawrence to the show as they discuss how Microsoft IT used Windows Server 2012 Dynamic Access Control to help secure and improve access management to key infrastructure and line of business applications to users and business groups within the company. Tune in as they lay out an extensive case study describing the situation, the solution, and the benefits to adopting Windows Server 2012 in their own IT environment. Tommy, the mic is yours.
Hello, welcome to this episode of TechNet Radio. I'm Tommy Patterson, the IT Pro Evangelist out of the Southeast United States. Today, we have the pleasure of Mark Lawrence joining us today from the Microsoft IT Client Division. Mark is the Principal Program Manager. Joined Microsoft in 1995 as a Premier Support Technical Account Manager, later managing the early adopter programs for the Windows operating systems. Today, Mark is a Microsoft IT Program Manager with IT working on projects for identifying identity policy and security features and is requested presenter for bring your own device topics quite often at our Microsoft Enterprise Briefing Center. In his spare time, Mark may be found riding motorcycles and playing the ukulele, though he says he doesn't try them at the same time. So Mark, let's hear it. How are you?
Well, very good. Thank you very much for that nifty intro, and I'm not playing ukulele right now.
So today we're going to talk about Dynamic Access Control. And for those of you who don't know, Dynamic Access Control enables the information governance by introducing new capabilities for controlling and auditing access to information inside files. Windows Server 2012 fundamentally changed that approach to identify and access management with significant improvements to Active Directory by providing MSIT with the ability to secure information based upon applying tags to content associated in Active Directory. So, Mark, let's talk a little bit about the challenges of the past. You know, what was the situation before, and kind of where are we headed now? Or what have we done to give a solution for that problem?
Sure. You know, file servers have been around for a long time. The way we put our data and the way we secure our data really has been very consistent for a long time. We have user accounts, and we give those users certain kinds of access depending on whether they should be able to read data, or maybe they need to put files in place, or maybe they manage a series of folders. And we use simple mechanisms like security groups to grant these permissions for read access and write access. That doesn't scale great across the enterprise when you think about it. The great thing about Windows Server 2012 and Dynamic Access Control, it gave us a new way to think about how we create permissions and how we can give access and audit that access effectively.
Gotcha. I watched a great event, it was about a year and a half ago, talking about their cloud, their internal cloud, and how they secured data not based on names of files, but bits of information, and how they were using tagging and such. And so that got me thinking, as we move forward into the future, we've got to get there. It sounds like that's what we're doing now. So talk a little bit about how we've implemented that solution in-house. We've got a pretty big case study around the payroll department. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. And you've got it. It's great for scaling to the data center and onto the cloud for this access mechanism. Payroll was a great win for us. Let me frame the problem or give you a problem statement. We have a situation where we have 22 countries worth of employees and a payroll department that has to collect that data every month, process it into documents, and store it on a SharePoint site. And with that, give access to the right payroll administrators. For example, you might be the payroll administrator for Colombia. You probably shouldn't have access to the payroll in Canada. You have to make sure that the right people got the right access. And with a system that's long live, you tend to have exceptions, such as who's the backup person this week. Very difficult to manage. In fact, it took 140 security groups just to keep this straight, and a special tool to make sure we were replicating not only the active payroll files each month, but when those files were taken off and put into an archival system, a straight file server. We have to make sure that the same people that should have access get the access, and the people that shouldn't have access don't. Now, auditing that, well, I can find out what a particular user has access to by looking at their groups and their memberships and all the ACLs and ACEs, those access control lists and access control entries. That's pretty painful for one. Imagine doing that across 22 countries and all the different exceptions and instances of changes. The great thing about dynamic access control, I could reduce that infrastructure by expressing claims of access. If you think about it, we have file classification today. A document might be tagged as high business impacting, or perhaps it's tagged as only to be read by full-time employees. These are rules. Now, if I could use the Active Directory, I could use dynamic access control. I could express those rules so that when a user tries to access a folder or access a file on a file server, the rules are checked against the employee's claims. The employee's claim, I'm a full-time employee. Great, that's the first rule. I happen to be in Canada. Stop. This is the payroll for Colombia. I don't think you're going to get access. Whoops, I clicked on the wrong folder. Let me click on the right folder. Ah, now I'm looking at the Colombia payroll. Yes, I'm a full-time employee. I'm an administrator for the Colombia organization, country. And now I get access to the files that I should see. Now here's the interesting aspect, and this is what we really need to manage. At times, people move jobs. They may move within the payroll department. That means they should be looking at maybe new regions and not looking at the regions where they used to work. With security groups and the old style of access control, that was pretty difficult to manage and quite manual. But with dynamic access control, the change in the user's property, the user's attribute, the user's tag, follows the user. So it automatically updates with the access that that user should have to the data. And this is great. We mentioned those 140 security groups that we used to have. We're down to just about 30 right now. Now, we still keep a few around for those immediate exceptions, but the time to resolve this went from a per-user change of around 2 hours to process all identity updates. We're down to a couple of minutes, real-time in some cases.
That's pretty great. I'm wondering the impact of implementing this new type of technology. Did it make the business unit start to rethink how they did work?
It makes the business unit think how they should be addressing responsibilities for file storage or for intellectual property protection, get away from that data leakage risk. Certainly today, we ask our system administrators to be librarians of data, to make sure that people get the right data, check out the data that they should, and not get access to the data they shouldn't. This puts the responsibility exactly where it should be. The file owner, the data owner, sets the rules for access control. They want that access control granularity, but they want it to be seamless to the user. The user shouldn't have to worry about clicking on a file and getting a fairly non-intuitive message that says access denied, or clicking on a folder and not understanding, why can't I see anything? Why am I told I can't go there? The great thing about dynamic access control is you can provision the access users should have at the level they should have it. So they'll be able to navigate a folder or a tree structure and get to the files they're supposed to see and not get to the files they shouldn't.
That's absolutely excellent. So I was always wondering, we have the internal share that has all the products on it, and I always wondered how, when I went to that share, did it know which product should I get to see? And so it sounds like that may be one of the scenarios you guys tackled. Tell me a little bit about how you figured out which products I should see and how you would go about making sure that the future products. Is that how that tagging works?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that's a pilot that we've nearly got ready for production deployment globally. We certainly, as a software development company, have access to our software products for evaluation and test, or for demonstration purposes. We have a lot of people on our corporate network, and it's pretty challenging to create rules about who is allowed to see a particular folder, who's allowed to install software, and what about that pre-release software that's not quite ready for public preview? Controlling that in the traditional sense of security groups and access control lists and permissions tends to be pretty granular. You get to see it or you don't. The great thing about dynamic access control and exactly what we said, these rules of access, means that I can take a class of users on the network. A good attribute that every user object has is What kind of employee am I? Am I an intern? Am I a full-time employee? Am I a vendor or contract staff? And I can craft rules that say you have access by default because you're a full-time employee, for example. You have access with certain conditions or memberships because you're working on a project or a new software project. You, as an intern, may be only here for 6 months, and perhaps your access to certain files should stop at a certain point because you will no longer be an active user on the environment. These are all rules we can express and are expressing to control access and make it less about the exception, more about the rule.
We've talked a lot about the solution and the situation that we tried to take advantage of or correct. Tell me a little bit about the benefits, the other outlying, the fringe benefits we haven't discussed.
There's been one great area that we explored and have realized that we have an opportunity. It's taking a little bit more time to put this one together globally, but we have as a company that has products we make, intellectual property we need to protect, even patents that need investigation. We have a lot of documents that can't be deleted or shouldn't be deleted. In legal terms, we call this legal retention requirement or legal hold.
Right.
When there's a reason to retain data for a certain amount of time, perhaps pending litigation or perhaps investigation or approval of a patent, the discovery phase, these documents need to reside, and it may be that these documents reside longer than our published data retention guidelines. We don't want to accidentally delete something because a file administrator or a systems administrator just didn't know. So with dynamic access control, we can express through file classification and these rules attributes on the file objects themselves that say, whoop, I'm part of legal hold. Don't delete me until date, and specify a specific date that we estimate will be the appropriate time for keep it or toss it. And we've got that as a proof and concept that's been delivered, working in some of the countries. It takes a little more negotiation to finish out across the globe. It's legal stuff, you know.
Absolutely. So you have the ability to audit things. The reporting, are you able to pull up, say, a group of people and look and see what all files they've accessed recently, and then maybe take that report to help generate what the tagging should look like? Is there a way to kind of pre-register what we might want to go towards in a scenario with DAC?
Sure. There are these tools exactly. In fact, there's the ability to run this without actually doing the final apply and get some evaluation state. We've had auditing and even enhanced auditing for many mechanisms. Group policy can provide this. We have audit logs that we turn on systems and servers for access attempts, access success, access failures. Been around for a long time, but really hard to dive in or gather a group of people. It's much easier when I can understand what memberships the users may have and what rules are applied to them. I know those rules apply. I know what their access should be, but I can still dive into an audit trail and understand what they have. You bet, it's built into the console. One of the side benefits, in fact, is something we call access denied remediation. We make it so that users, instead of getting a message that says access denied and that's it, instead the message can be crafted by the file share owner, which explains to them to request access or to gather self-service access, follow this process and give the numbers or a web link so that the users know where to go. And of course, follow the appropriate channels for requesting access.
Excellent. All right. Well, I really appreciate you joining us today, Mark. Are there any next steps that we should be looking at, you know, to get more information or maybe see a demo of this?
Great tip on that one. Let me suggest there is an online hands-on lab for dynamic access control. I recommend that if users have some interest in evaluating this, start with the online hands-on lab, and we'll make sure that you know where to get that information. In addition, there's a great Microsoft IT Showcase case study of our payroll system improvement and improved security. We'd like to recommend that users read that case study. It goes a little deeper in its scenario and reports back some metrics of improvement.
Great. I'll be sure to add those links on my blog. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. And Mark, always a pleasure. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Great pleasure on my part too. Thank you.